Welcome back, everyone, for this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 38 from October the 17th of 1992. We are still in Hancock County High School in Sneedville, Tennessee. Doc, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing great, son. Sneedville, that sounds like some bullshit fictional town from a Dr. Seuss book. But hey, it's great to be back. You know, I love watching wrestling get watched by people that are poor and white and probably vote against their own best self-interest in general elections.
Here we go with some political bullshit from you, of course. What about you, Harper? Are you hanging in there, man?
Yeah, man. Fucking rocking it out.
Did you watch the Golden Girls this morning to get you ready?
I think it's on right now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's okay. So if you could go back in time and nail Blanche, would you?
Oh, yeah, bro. They had nice bodies of being fucking old as shit.
You want to respond to that, Mike?
So you're saying you'd bang them all?
I mean...
Okay, here's the question. If they played their cards right. You're 38 years old, right?
I'm 40. Fuck.
Okay, you're 40 years old right now, right?
Yeah.
So at 40 years old, if you are 40 years old when the Golden Girls TV show is in its prime and, you know, hitting on all cylinders like Mid-South Wrestling was in their early to mid-80s.
Yeah.
Do you bang all of them? You bang them all?
No doubt. With the world watching.
Yeah. Oh, you do it on camera?
Bro. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There were celebrities back then.
So which one would you bang first?
Blanche. Yeah.
Blanche would get it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Smack it up, flip it, rub it down. Oh, no. Okay. All right. What about Betty White? She'd get it, too?
Yeah.
I can't.
But what's strange is the fucking mama was the youngest one.
Yeah, I know. That's what was crazy about that. She was the youngest one.
You don't even like white women, so why would you be banging old white women?
It's the Golden Girls, man.
I'm talking about Mike.
Oh.
That's not true.
Name a white chick that you banged now.
I've been married for 10 years now. I'm not about to go back in history and start naming.
So when was what year did you bang the last white woman?
I banged a white chick named Tammy. I can't name them all. It's too many to remember. There was a Melissa involved in there at one point. No comment. Plead the fifth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, if you're just joining us, this is the Smoky Mountain Review Show, where we go week by week through the Smoky Mountains.
Yes. Thank you, Doc, for clearing that up, because we got a lot of ears on the product now, considering that Jim Cornette talks about us all the time these days.
So, here's the deal, new ears. We like to talk about shit. All kinds of shit.
Sometimes. But we do spend a lot of time on Smoky Mountain as well. So here we go. We're in Hancock County High School, Sneedville, Tennessee. I had a couple of follow-ups before we get really going into this week's episode. One was, I heard Cornette say that the banner, not the banner that I think is appearing now, but there's a banner coming up in a couple of episodes. He said that they spent $400 on that banner, and the only reason it was on one side of the ring is because that's the one side that faced the hard camera. So he wanted to mention that, or I heard him mention that, I think, on a drive-thru a few weeks back. Also, Jim talked about the wooden logo that we see each and every week behind Bob and Dutch. That is a wooden painted logo, if you can't tell, on the episode. So wanted to mention that.
He said he still has it up. I think Harper and I should drive up to Castle Cornette and try to steal it.
No, shut up. Stop trying to. Come on, man. Jim does a lot for the show. Stop that. Okay, and then one other follow-up from a listener of ours named Kevin Rhines on Facebook. Kevin sent me a video clip of the Sheepherders versus the Fantastics in the UWF from May the 25th of 1986. That's Bill Watts' UWF with Jim Ross on commentary. It was fucking crazy insane. But either I was checked out at this time of the UWF or just don't remember this, but there is a barbed wire cage, and it is similar to the one used in Smoky Mountain Wrestling that we said we hadn't seen anything like it. Now, I will say this about it if you haven't seen this video that I'm talking about. It looks more stable than the one in Smoky Mountain. The one in Smoky Mountain, to Harper's point, kind of looks a little bit unstable, if that makes any sense. Well, it was reusable, as you heard Cornette tell me when I was on the Jim Cornette Experience. So, okay. Let's get into this. We got Dutch and Bob. The big news of the day is that Bullet Bob Armstrong has a personal message for the master at the opening of the show. Dutch says Down and Dirty will feature Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. You know, I was disappointed in one thing, though. We went off air last week with the news that the R&R had a surprise for Cornette, but we didn't get a mention of it, at least in the early going of the show. Luckily, my disappointment would not last long. Doc, you got anything regarding the opening of this week's episode?
No, sir.
Okay.
Let's get to the ring.
Harper, anything? Are you ready to go to the ring?
Let's go. Let's do
this. We got Dixie Dynamite versus Joe Kazana. Another quick match. Joe Kazana does what he's paid to do. He puts Dixie over. I didn't really have much else from this opening match. Doc, did you have anything?
Did you hear Dutch? Dutch was really putting out a lot of effort to get Kazana over here, saying, like, he's getting better. I could see him breaking out soon. Just interesting little thing to kind of help accentuate a squash match and again, proving why Dutch and Bob Cuddle are so great together and individually awesome as well. The other thing I was just wondering for you two guys is if you had that cape, you know, the Confederate and the stars on the inside, how much would it take for you today to just head down to the mall and just wear that through the mall? Or, I don't know, Harper, just put it on and go down to Bourbon Street tonight. I don't know.
I'll put it on and just, like, walk down, like, Claiborne Avenue and just see what happens.
You would be dead inside of 5 minutes in New Orleans walking around with that shit on. You know that, and I know it. I don't know if there's a dollar amount you could give me to pull that one off, Doc. Sorry, can't help you there.
So maybe Dixie Dynamite's tougher than we thought.
Yeah. Dixie, hey, man, the gimmick is over. They're into it when he comes out. I ain't got nothing bad to say about Dixie Dynamite / Scott Armstrong. Good for him. He got that crap over back then. That said, we go to a promo, and it is the Rock and Roll Express, and we got something that we need to hear from them. So here we go.
Measure over today. Let's go right now to Bob Cuddle, standing by with the Rock and Roll Express.
All right, Dutch is right. You are Rock and Roll Express. Hey, I've been waiting a week for this guy. Now, you got to let me in on it, Rick. You got to give me this big surprise here, of course, for the Heavenly Bodies and particularly for Jim Cornette.
That's right. You know, throughout the history of the Rock and Roll Express, even went back when we wrestled the Midnight Express and now it's the Heavenly Bodies, it was always Mama Cornette. Mama Cornette putting the money up for Jimmy Cornette. Even in the junction he got against us, it was Mama Cornette that done it all. Yeah. Well, I got to thinking, who in the world is Mama Cornette? I've never seen her. I've never seen nothing of her. She never even shows up. So I found out from a good source of information that she just had her picture taken by a famous photographer. And I went down to his office, and I got a copy of the picture. And later on here today, we're going to show the whole world who Mama Cornette really is. All right.
And that's the big surprise that you guys have for Jim Cornette.
Yeah, that's right. Now, like I said, this picture is a beautiful picture. Her hair's all done. It's made at her house. I'm telling you, I cannot wait for the whole world to see Mama Cornette.
I'm looking forward to that, fans. You heard it right there from the Rock and Roll. That'll be coming during this hour. We'll be back. We'll have more right after we take this time out.
I don't want to spoil things, but I just want people to key into something that was said there when Ricky Morton said she got her hair done and all that good stuff. I just keep the hair in mind as we get into this week's episode further down the line. Doc, you got anything from the promo?
Well, the trap is set. I am ready to hear. I'm ready to see this picture, man. Think how many years we've heard about Mama Cornette. And now, finally, after all this time, we're going to get to see a picture of what she looks like.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. We'll get to see Mama Cornette. Harper, you got anything?
Yeah, Mama Cornette was kind of like the bad guy from Inspector Gadget. You never saw his face. And so this is the first time I watched this last night thinking, I want to see what the fuck she looks like.
And okay, so let me just stop.
I want to Google Jim Cornette's mama just to see.
And you know what? That's funny, but there's something there.
There is.
Because they've been working on this for years.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Forever.
We give it. It's hokey, but it's hokey in the right ways. And we actually give a shit. And it's actually able 20 fucking 5 years later to make three men in their early 40s go, I know that it's gonna, this is a work.
Yeah.
But are we getting ready to actually see the picture? Is this it? Is this when we act? We're going to see it, I bet. Just for a second. And that's the beauty of the work.
It's hokey, it's cheesy, and that's what makes it so great. That's just, it's like, we were talking about this offline one day, you and I, Doc, and I'm like, we're sitting there going, man, some of the stuff they did in Smoky Mountain was hokey and cheesy, but god damn, it's entertaining and it's fucking real wrestling. It's hard to, like,
you can't use the word hokey, cheesy, or ridiculous to be a negative term when we're talking about territory wrestling. That's part of what makes it great.
100% agree. Like, give me an example. Like, okay, we're talking about Smoky Mountain. I'll never forget the angle in Mid-South where Junkyard Dog was sent packing and then came back as Stagger Lee. The way Junkyard Dog lost that tag team match and took the fall for his team, which sent him packing, was fucking Hacksaw Jim Duggan. At the beginning of the episode, they show a gorilla on camera, a guy in a gorilla suit. Nobody had any thought that this gorilla would get involved in a match. And he ends up being the one who cost Dog the match as he enters the ring and we find out it's Duggan. So, like, nobody had done that before. If they did, I hadn't seen it. It hadn't been on TV. But that's like, come on, dude. They put a fucking man in a fucking gorilla suit. How hokey is that? But goddamn, it's like, well, shit. It's so hokey, it's entertaining and good. And that's like this thing.
But the difference is, and there's a line from the movie Spinal Tap that applies to this, and it's why territory wrestling gets it right most of the time, and corporate wrestling gets it wrong every time, is that there's a fine line between clever and stupid. So if you, that's how you get, you turn a guy like Robert Fuller into Colonel Parker and just turn it up too much and make it kind of dumb.
Well, turn it up too much and make it kind of dumb in a way that they kind of took his strength from him. Like they allowed Robert Fuller to be a talker, because he was fine as Colonel Parker doing what he was instructed to do. But at the same time, you watch Smoky Mountain, you see, goddamn, not only is he a talker, that some bitch is an ass kicker.
Yeah.
Imagine if you saw Robert Fuller in WCW the way you saw him in Smoky Mountain. I ain't going to sit there and say he'd have been the next Stone Cold Steve Austin, but you could draw some money with that dude, man.
Well, Stone Cold Steve Austin wasn't Stone Cold Steve Austin in that promotion, so there you go. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. So we go to a replay of Down and Dirty with Dutch and Bullet Bob, and it's Bob and Dutch discussing the mystery man known as the Master. They also show the replay of the guy with the Night Stalker on his tights, or NS on his tights, and the Samoan Savage ganging up on Primetime Brian Lee. The Rock and Roll made the save on that. This then leads us into a promo with Primetime Brian Lee that we will play right here.
You know, what you're looking at here is a frustrated man. For time and time again, I've been jumped from behind. I'm tired of looking over at my shoulder. Now, Master, you've hired these guys, and I'm tired of dealing with your hired help. You look at me. I'm still standing here 6'8", 280 pounds, and the job's not done. So quit being a wimp and quit hiding behind your hired help and get in my face. And I tell you what, I'm not going down. And when the smoke clears, Primetime Brian Lee will be standing tall.
Fans, we're right now, Commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Bob Armstrong. And Bob, as we said earlier, last week, a strange new twist in this concerning Brian Lee and the Stalkers. Now we got a Master. Have you found out anything? Do we know any more about the Master?
You know, Bob, we don't know a thing about the Master. He wants to call himself the Master. That's fine. But I have here today the deal of the century for the Master. Now, he's extended the bounty on not only Primetime Brian Lee, but his friends. He's thrown the whole thing into a turmoil. I've tried everything mentally, legally, physically that I can do. So, Master, I'm going to offer you this. Listen to me close. If you'll do two things for me, Master, if you'll call off the bounties and if you'll call off the Stalkers, I'll give you airtime on this program so that everybody within earshot or can see you on the TV tube, you can air your grievances. You can say anything you want to say. Let's get it all out in the open. People are suffering. Stalkers are coming out of the woodwork. Money's passing hands. We don't want that in professional wrestling. So, Master, remember, you can be on this TV. You can say anything you want to say. Just two conditions. Take off the bounty, stop the Stalkers, and let's talk about it face to face.
Commissioner, that sounds like an extremely fair offer to me, and I hope the master is listening. I hope the master sees it. If not, I hope some of his stalkers are going to make him aware of it. That from Commissioner Bob Armstrong. We're going to be back. We'll have more fans right after this.
Doc, we got two things going here, to be honest with you. So we should probably talk about them both individually. First thing being Primetime Brian Lee. Doc, did you... I'll let you just share your thoughts on that part of it.
Meh.
Yeah. Yeah. My exact note.
I'm not convinced.
Go ahead, Homer. Me either.
I'm not convinced. Sorry, Brian.
Here's the thing. If you use the word wimp, which is a wimpy word anyway, because you're getting threatened and you call him a wimp, that just doesn't convince me. It's a weak word. Sorry. That threw it all off for me.
It's something about his delivery when he's cutting these babyface promos. I can't put a finger on it. I'll just say it doesn't have it, and I just don't believe that this stalker is pissing him off enough. It's like he's not mad enough. I don't know.
I don't want to give away a spoiler, but wait till next week because I think it gets a little better.
Well, it does, but at the same time, I can't bite into it. And, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin said this on a podcast a while back, a couple months ago. He's like, man, Primetime Brian Lee in the back. He's like, that guy was incredible, man. You know, he's zinger after zinger, and he's like, the red light goes on. And these were Austin's words. He goes, the red light goes on out there, and it's like, man, what happened to the guy in the back? That's, you know, cracking the boys up, and, you know, we're out there having a good time. He's like, what happened? I just don't sense it. With him. So, and then he's still throwing out, I'm 6'8", 280. Let me tell you something. Come on, man. I can't do that anymore. But we get...
Here's the other thing. You can say he's young here, and that's a valid argument.
Oh,
he's
really young.
Could you see his age on the tombstone?
Yeah. No spoilers. But yeah. But the other thing about that is that when we've been watching NWA 85, and for all you new people that are coming in to listen to Smoky Mountain, let me just tell you, we also are going through Saturday nights from the NWA, and we're in 1985, early 86 right now. You got young guys cutting hellified promos. Arn's young, Landell's young, Magnum's young. So, you know, at some point, yeah, you're young and green, but other guys have done it before, so let's go.
Yeah, I agree. So we go to the second half of that, and it's Bullet Bob giving his update, which I liked. I'll ask Doc what he thought, though.
Well, he kind of pulled back the curtain there. Bob Armstrong telling you the thoughts of he goes, we got money passing hands and we don't want that in wrestling. I was like, shit, man, he's giving away the secrets of the old white promoters in the South, man. Don't pay the boys. The other thing here is that BA is negotiating with a terrorist now, and you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But I think that the offer extended out means that we're finally getting closer to finding out who this guy is, and I want to tell everybody so bad.
The thing is, we're about to find out who he is, and I know this angle has been going on potentially too long in a bit. I mean, I say potentially, but this was how territory wrestling was done. I've been rewatching Mid-South, and I hadn't watched that stuff in 35 years. And I got to say, it's just how it was done back then. And Cornette was redoing it. You know, he was doing it in his own way. So this is not uncommon, what they're doing. It just feels long because, you know, we're older now. And
well, what was it?
We're more impatient than we were back then.
Yes.
Because in 1980, didn't they do a year-long heel turn for Ole where he turned on Dusty? A year.
Angle. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So this has been going on for it's definitely a long time that this is going on. But I will say, the payoff, we're going to get there. We've been saying it for weeks. The payoff is great. Even Cornette won't give the payoff away on the Jim Cornette Experience. Like, you know, we're recording this on April 21st, 2017. But I know on the drive-through prior to the April 21st, 2017, even on the Jim Cornette Experience, he's not giving away spoilers because based on where we're at with things when he was plugging the show. So I just got to mention that. I like Bullet Bob's promo here. Harper, you got anything to add before we go to the next segment?
I don't think the stalker's going to fall for it.
Nah, well, let's just not say anything more, and we'll see what happens because we are getting close to it.
Yes.
Here we go. We then go to a local promo, and normally, you know, I've been skipping these, but I can't skip this one.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
This is good. So it's Cornette. This is so good. They actually played this twice in this episode. But we got Cornette with this strange-looking guy with a mullet and the weird-looking glasses and a porn stash. Not a porn stash, but a thin stash. I don't know how to call it. But he's slightly starting to get the receding hairline. So here we go.
Fans, it's football season, and Smoky Mountain Wrestling will not be seen on WOAY-TV until Saturday, November the 28th, when we return to Saturday nights at 11:30. And also, Smoky Mountain Wrestling will return to Beckley on Sunday, December the 27th, at the Raleigh County Armory.
I got a special announcement, by the way. Would the woman who left her 11 kids over at the football stadium please go pick them up? They're beating the Mountaineers 21-7. You know, I hate football with a pea purple passion. I'm sure you realize that. They're a bunch of losers anyway in this state. And the only thing that I'm happy about that it's football season is that Smoky Mountain Wrestling is not seen on WOAY. So that means we don't have to come up there to Beckley. But now I find out for Christmas, which is like finding out the chemotherapy didn't quite take, we're coming back to Beckley on December 27th at the Raleigh County Armory. Well, boy, I've just waited my whole life for that experience. Let me tell you something. And I know you realize this. The people in this part of the country are starved for the sight of real men. The women up there, they look across the kitchen table. They got a fat guy with a pot belly covered with coal dust that's just climbed up out of a hole in the ground to look at. So is it any wonder that every woman in central West Virginia would kick their husbands and probably their dogs as well off a cliff for the chance to spend one night with the heavenly bodies? No, it's no wonder. But I tell you something. If we are going to have to come back to Beckley, as you can see by this program tonight, we got a little situation going on with the Rock and Roll Express. Ricky and Robert, I know they're big favorites up there. Well, if we are going to come back to Beckley, and we are going to be made miserable at the prospect, then I'm going to demand from the promoters that they sign for December 27th a match with the Heavenly Bodies pitting against the Rock and Roll Express, and we're going to get all that aggravation and all that frustration out on the Rock and Roll Express. One thing before I go. You know what you get when you cross a pig with a woman from Beckley? Nothing. There's some things even a pig won't do.
I'm so going to use that.
But are you really?
But it's going to be a woman from the West Bank.
Oh boy, Naka, you go ahead, man.
Well, we talk a lot of times about how there are certain guys that get, you know, no matter what they do, it's always a single or a double. They can't be home runs every time. We talked about a few months back, similar guy who always cuts a good promo is Arn Anderson. This is a fucking home run again. I mean, gee, he comes out rolling. I just thought about how mad I would have been if I lived in that area and I was like 9 or 10 and that guy comes on and tells me that there ain't going to be any wrestling because of West Virginia football. And I'm a football fan, but come on, dude. And if you watch this, I got the sense that as it was rolling and he kept making fun of West Virginia and the coal people, which, I mean, just great lines there. But I get the feeling that maybe our ring announcer / interviewer here is from that area because he started looking like he was getting pissed off at Cornette. He wanted to hit him with the mic or something. I thought that was pretty good. But just from top to – I mean, you could just – he came in mouthing off. He went out mouthing off. He hit lines in between. He talked him in the building and just hit zingers along the way. Master class. That's how you do it.
Yeah, my comment was he's talking him into the building. He's going to talk some shit, insult the people, and then hopefully the people are going to come because they want to see their heroes defeat him in his team. I loved it. It was good. So we go to the next promo. It is a dream match update, and I'm going to play it from the point where it's Dutch Mantel and Bob Cottle talking about Dutch is selecting a letter that was sent in via the dream matches.
Dutch, I see you got some more of those letters.
These are some more letters from some of the fans.
Well, how about it? You want to read one of them or some of them? Let me pick it. No.
I will pick this one. I have one right here. This is from a fan who wants to see a dream match in November. Now, this comes from a Mr. Leroy Mercer from Route 4, Thompson School Road, Maynardsville, Tennessee. And he writes, "Dear Smoky Mountain Wrestling, I would like to see a special dream match. I would like to see an old-timers match between Tojo Yamamoto and Whitey Caldwell.
Now,
wait a minute. There's one problem with that, Mr. Mercer. These men are both dead, and they've been dead for some time. They're dead like in deceased, like no longer with us, like 6 feet under. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about. People up here in the Smoky Mountains, they don't know if somebody's alive, if somebody's dead. They're stupid. They ought to all be institutionalized. Anybody
did you write that letter?
Oh, I did not write this letter. Leroy Mercer in Tennessee, I might add, Mannersville, Tennessee, the most ignorant people in the world live right here in Tennessee.
They're not, no doubt about it. They're not. No way, fans. Let's go to the ring.
You doubt my word.
Those people are dead, as in no longer. God damn, you couldn't do that now. Somebody would get offended. You're insulting them. Doc, go ahead.
You know, we talk about these guys, and they are geniuses. I truly believe this. They are geniuses of psychology and how to actually conduct professional wrestling. Guys like Dutch, guys like Corny, guys like in this sense. But at some point, they've got a built-in easy advantage here because they're just picking on – it's like shooting fish in a barrel. They're just picking on – they can always go back to the dumbass hillbilly line, and it always works because look at them.
Yeah.
100% agree. They go – that's like the line to go back to every time. Let's talk about the hillbillies, the coal miners.
They always fall for it because it's true.
Jesus.
That's why they get so pissed.
They don't make it harder than it has to be. This is the easiest way to go. Let's do it.
Yeah. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. I agree. I thought that was great. You know, he brings up Tojo's name and Whitey Caldwell. You know, people, especially Whitey Caldwell, you know, people in that area would definitely know who Whitey Caldwell is. I just thought it was great. You know, you pick something that's relatable to the people and then you insult them. I thought it was a nice little touch because Bob Caudle wanted to select the letter. Did you notice that, Doc?
Mm-hmm.
And remember what happened last time Bob selected a letter. It ended up being a late bill or a late notice, one of Dutch's bills. So subtly, if you recall that from last time, Dutch is like, no, I got it. Just thought that was a cool little touch to it. But we go then from the Dream Match update to then the Heavenly Bodies with Jim Cornette and Killer Kyle versus Ben Jordan and Robbie Eagle. Morton and Gibson join the commentary during this match and repeat the message that the Rock and Roll Express have a surprise for later when they're going to unveil a picture of Jimmy Cornette's mama, aka Mama Cornette. This match went longer than I thought it would with Jordan and Eagle getting a little bit of offense, more than I guess I would thought they would get. In the end, though, if there's, you know, of course, the Heavenly Bodies got the win. Doc, did you have anything from this match before I move to Down and Dirty with Dutch?
I thought it was a good little match, but the thing I like at the end, and it's just a nice little touch, is that Corny comes in to celebrate, and he was using the tennis racket as a fan over Ben Jordan, who was still laying there after he got Ben. Just little things that make it all just, you know, it's the little attention to detail that makes it good.
It's the little things, brah. Harper, what about you? Anything from the match before I move to the next one?
Yeah, I was surprised how much stuff Ben Jordan got in.
Yeah, that was one thing I caught. I was like, they got a lot more offense than I thought they would. I mean, it wasn't like they got a lot of offense. I'm just saying they got more than I would expect in that match. But it is what it is. Whatever. They still.
I wonder why Ben Jordan, because some of these guys, when the TV title comes in a few months, some of these guys actually get to hold the TV title. And you know, really, our friend Bobby Blaze was a guy who kind of rose through the ranks that way. I'd be interested to know because Ben Jordan seems to have some skills. Why he wasn't one of the guys that kind of advanced up a little, out the card a little bit. Maybe he had a straight job or something where he couldn't commit the time. I don't know.
Write that down, Doc. That's a corny question for when we talk to him again.
Well, there's no reason to make fun of my question.
No, I'm just saying. Write that down. I'm
saying. Oh, you mean for a question for Jim Cornette? Not that my question was corny. I don't. I'm not friends with Cornette.
Oh, Jesus
so
Christ!
I don't call him by what.
Nothing. Go ahead. I'm actually telling you to write that down. That's a good question. And you thinking I'm calling you corny. And I'm...
Oh.
You fucking...
My... Well, I accept your apology.
Stop jerking off to the Golden Girls while we're recording and pay attention to me. Harper. When Harper gets silent, that's what he's doing. He's stroking his...
Yahtzee.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Down and Dirty with Dutch. Here it is. This is Cornette out there with the Heavenly Bodies and Dutch Mantel.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not.
segment is hosted by a man, a legend, a way of life, and I'm as proud as I can be to welcome on the program today the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champions, Tom Pritchard, Stan Lane, with their manager extraordinaire, Mr. Jim Cornette. Thank you for coming on the program. I would like to congratulate you on your brilliant legal maneuver in obtaining an injunction against the Rock and Roll Express, a brilliant, brilliant move.
First of all, I want to ask a favor of all these genetic mutants out here. Stan Lane's eardrum is very bad. It's perforated. You got to keep the noise down. We got to keep...
Hold it down, please.
We got to keep this noise down. It's painful for us. Now, you know, like I said, I went to my mother's attorney's crack legal staff, and I got that injunction, and we do not have to defend the belts against the Rock and Roll Express. Now, I heard them come out here, and I heard them say they had a picture of my mother.
Is that legal? Is that legal?
Well, it's not true. It's, of course it wouldn't be legal. You can't just possess a picture of somebody and show it on TV. No, you know that. You've got a pre-law and pre-med background. You realize that. But I tell you something, Rock and Roll, people go to bad places for lying, and that's what you're doing. You ain't got nothing to my mother. My mother's a fine woman. She wouldn't allow dirt like you to have a picture of her. And I'll tell you something else. People go to bad places for lying, and bad things happen to people that mess with the heavenly bodies. The bounty, I see Bob Armstrong out here. He's sweating. Now, Smoky Mountain Wrestling has given in to terrorist activity. Is that correct?
Of course, yes.
Well, that's just great, because we're going to get that bounty too, brother. We're going to collect on Brian Lee and the Rock and Roll and anybody else. And as for Bob Armstrong, I can only imagine that this is going to hasten him to an early retirement, which I'll be so sorry to hear about. And right now, you need to talk to the sexiest tag team in wrestling about the Rock and Roll Express, Brian Lee, and all these other goofs, and about my man Killer Kyle here.
Okay, Tom, your comment, please.
Let me just say this. I am sick and tired of hearing the Rock and Roll Express come out week after week and talk about what they've done in the past to Jim Cornette, Midnight Express, and any tag team Jim Cornette has ever managed. Let me just tell you, you talk about the road that you walk down, we never traveled. Well, this is not the Midnight Express. You're looking at the new and improved heavenly bodies, and we will travel more roads than you got roadmap for, pal.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, fans, there you. Fan, you have anything to say very briefly here? Is your ear bothering you?
I would talk, but when I yell, my ears kill me, and these stupid fans won't shut up.
Shut up, you're hurting these ears. Okay, Stan.
Tell you one more thing before we go. It took the Midnight Express 7 years to beat the Rock and Roll Express. It's going to take the heavenly bodies 7 days.
7 days, you heard it right here exclusively. Down and dirty with those fans. Don't go away. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. If y'all don't shut up, I'm slapping every one of you.
Harper, you got any thoughts on it before I throw it to Doc?
I think this is the first time in quite some time you haven't seen Stan Lane wearing his water polo hat thing.
Yeah, probably so.
And I love that he's still selling it, man. He's still selling his fucking ear that's been hurt for what, a fucking year?
He ain't got no choice, because yeah. as Cornette said, he had pelt problems. The pelt wasn't staying on his head, so he had no choice. He had to.
Oh, that was the whole reason for selling the
ear?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't listen to it.
You
didn't listen to it. Damn. Yeah. Yeah. What happened was the pelt wouldn't stay in place, and he was having issues working with it. So they had to put the water polo helmet to make sure it stayed in place.
Yeah,
so
hearing that.
That's why it became a part of the show.
He says he went to fucking New Jersey.
Yes,
to get
he did.
Fucking wig.
Oh boy, Doc, what did you have?
I think it's funny that Corny doesn't believe in hell, but he's saying bad people go to hell for lying. I like that part. I thought Tom Pritchard gave a short and very sweet, nice promo there. And I'm pretty sure after watching the match and then this interview segment that is no longer – I think we need to stop referring to that as a water polo helmet. That's a fucking tarp. A tarp for the pelt.
A tarp. Okay. Like in baseball?
It's a car cover.
It's a car cover. That's exactly right.
It's a car cover.
It's a car cover. Okay. Well, with that said, I'm not going to sit there and tell you that was a grand slam, but I thought it was effective. And, hey, they're working the pelt still. Corny telling people they're going to hell.
We're advancing the picture angle here.
Yeah, there you go. Going from that, we go to Ronnie Garvin. And I'm going to play that for you all right here for us all to hear what Ronnie Garvin has to say in the next segment.
All right, fans, and with me right now, here's the man with the hands of stone, Ronnie Garvin. Ronnie, what you got on there, guy?
This is my smoking jacket.
You know, that
I don't even smoke, and I got a smoking jacket.
Well, that looks a lot like what it started out as, the robe of Paul Orndorff, but every time I see you, it looks like it keeps getting shorter.
Well, actually, what it is, see, I'm a little taller than he is, and it looks short on me. You see, you got to fight fire with fire. I used to get upset. But lately, I've got a new motto. I just read an article in the paper here that said that every time you get upset, it has a great effect on your kidneys, on your liver, on your heart, on your blood pressure.
Yeah.
So from now on, Paul, you're the one that's going to get upset because I'm going to stay after you. I'm going to make life so miserable for you that you won't be able to stand it in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I'm going to drive you out of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I'm going to drive you out of Sneechville. I'm going to drive you out of Knoxville. I'm going to drive you out of everywhere I go. You understand? You know why? Because you started it. You beat me up. You tore up my towel, which was a personal item. And you don't touch Ronnie Garvin's personal items. And I'm going to tell you something. Paula, listen to me, Paula, because this whole world will call you Paula, because that's exactly what you are. You have a woman's name, and you act like one. You're not a man in my book. And Paula, it's not over.
All right, fans. Word from Ronnie Garvin. Let's go to the ring.
This shit is cheesy, but I will say this. I didn't like the promo, but I did like when he said you have a woman's name.
Yeah.
I kind of laughed at that one, Harper.
Yeah.
It was good.
Harper,
go ahead.
He was trying hard to get that Paula thing over. They weren't biting.
They weren't biting right there. They kind of bite, I think, once the match gets going and Orndorff comes out on commentary. Because Orndorff's about to come out on commentary
as
the match is going.
He looks good wearing that robe.
He's got the robe on in this one, and he's got jeans on. Jeans on with his smoking jacket. Just, what the fuck? What the hell? like when a rich dude that pulls out his pipe or a cigar and got a robe on and he's gonna smoke. Get the fuck out of here. Doc, what did you think?
I thought Paula may not have got the crowd going, but it popped Cottle for sure.
Garvin didn't get the crowd going?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Garvin didn't get the crowd going with Paula, but Cottle was snickering like a little schoolboy at that.
Yeah. He thought it was funny. You could see it.
Here's the other thing. We've kind of poked a little bit of fun at Garvin doing on the NWA 85 shows about his limited skills on the mic. You know, I think he's better here than he was back in the NWA in 85.
Oh, he is. I agree. The limited promos we're talking about so far, I agree. His promos in Smoky Mountain are better. Because that one, again, we're recording this on April 21st. We had a show drop on April the 20th of 2017. That one from the December 14th, 1985 NWA show that he cuts is just boring beyond explanation. So I agree with you, Doc. He does cut better promos here. What else did you have, Doc?
That's all.
Okay. Orndorff comes out on commentary. I think it's worth playing. What do you think, Doc?
I don't know. You're the boss here, boss.
Oh, you motherfucker. Okay, here it is then.
In professional wrestling, nothing like this has ever happened to me. And I'm going to tell you something right now, Ronnie Garvin. You are not going to get away with this. You are not going to get away. You can relate to those 8-to-5ers out there, those rednecks, because you're just like them. And what you did to me, you stole my robe, and then you cut it off. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You think for 1 minute you're going to drive me crazy? Yes. I mean, no. No, you're not going to drive me crazy. You're not going to drive me crazy, Ronnie Garvin, because I'm going to end your wrestling career one way or the other. Somewhere down the line, real soon, you and I are going to get in that ring, and this is going to be settled. And as far as calling me Paula, that is not my name. My name is Mr. Wonderful, and I got respect, and I demand respect, and I demand that those people, they don't call me Paula. $15,000 road, Ronnie Garvin, and you're going to pay. You're going to pay dearly. Your family, somebody is going to pay, Ronnie Garvin. You know something? In Smoky Mountain Wrestling, it ain't big enough for Ronnie Garvin and Mr. Wonderful. One of us, and it ain't going to be me. It ain't going to be me, Ronnie Garvin. It's going to be you, because you're going to pay for it dearly.
All right, Fangio.
Matter of fact, I'm going to start it right now.
Well, there we had some strong words, first from Ronnie Garvin, equally strong.
So what happens after Orndorff leaves commentary? He heads to the ring. He knocks out Mike Sampson, because there's this match going on right now between Sampson and Danny Davis. He knocks out Sampson, shit cans him, and then he spike pile drives Nitro Danny Davis on his head. Danny Davis appears to have a broken neck. Doc, you got anything from the promo and then the end of that match?
There's a lot of stuff here that's going on, but Jesus Christ, one thing stands out to me. That was a fantastic pile driver that Orndorff threw on Danny Davis. I don't know if it's the best one ever, but somebody would have to show me one better, because he got up in the air, he got air on it, and he spiked the shit out of him.
Yeah.
I agree. I thought that was a very good pile driver. I thought he got some air. I thought when he hits, Davis kind of springs up a little. I've seen some better ones. I remember one from, I think it was Rob Van Dam hitting Tommy Dreamer with one in ECW, where the Dreamer shot up in the air. It was awesome. I've seen like ones like that, but this was a really good sit down, you know, pile driver. He spiked them, and it appears that Danny Davis is really going to be out now for a while, based on what
he's dead
at the end of that. Yeah, he's dead. He's not coming back for a while. And I'm not trying to spoil things. I'm just saying it looks like he's dead. So with that said, Harper, you got anything before we move to the next promo?
I love how they handle a guy that's supposed to have a neck injury when they get him on a stretcher.
You mean poorly? Yeah, I like how they did that too.
They're just like, get on a goddamn stretcher. Come on.
Well, Harper probably hasn't seen this, but they treated him better than that guy in that LP Bay Diaz video, Doc, that dove over the top rope, landed on his head, broke it, looked like he broke his neck, and then they dragged the guy off. Like, they don't even put him on a stretcher. They just drag him out the fucking building. And this dude went face first over the top rope, landed on his head, and they pick him up and just drag him away by his arms. Like, Jesus Christ. They do the one thing you shouldn't do to a man with a broke neck, dragging him off. So I agree, Harper. It's like, come on, man. Can you please be a little bit more careful with this man who appears to have a broken neck? With that said, we got Bullet Bob Armstrong here. And it's followed by another, you know, it's followed by actually a promo with the Rock and Roll Express again. So here we go.
Smoking Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Commissioner, we just saw Nitro Danny Davis carried out of the arena on a stretcher after that illegal pie driver in the last match from Paul Orndorff.
And how many times have I told Paul Orndorff the pile driver is illegal? I even wrote his lawyer a personal letter stating that the pile driver is illegal. Paul Orndorff, I want you to know right now, that pile driver just cost you $2,500. And if I can find any other way, shape, or form, I'm going to try to see that you pay for Danny Davis's medical bills also. We'll get real deep in your pocket, and maybe you'll get the message, no pile drivers allowed.
Well, he's determined, fans. Commissioner Bob Armstrong. And he's, here we are. All right, I'm ready, Rick.
The moment has come.
Let me get out of the way here.
The moment has come. Yeah. Throughout the history of the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, the Heavenly Bodies, it is time to show Mama Cornette. All right. Can I get a drum roll back there, Mr. Mantell? Can I get a drum roll? All right. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Throughout the years, look how beautiful Miss Cornette is right here. Here she is. As you can tell, she looks just like Jimmy. You can see where she gets the glasses. He gets the glasses. The nose is like, the hair is just a little bit prettier, though. But this is it. This is the woman that stands behind Heavenly Bodies and Jimmy Cornette. Mama Cornette. There she is.
Oh, wait a minute. Here comes the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette. Oh, wait a minute, Jim. Killer Kyle.
Stinking Rock and Roll Express back out here. We're going to fight him right now. We'll fight him right now.
Here or in the ring. Get him back out here, Connor. You're going to fight him?
You can't do that to my mother's dad. You know my mother.
They don't have any more respect for a man's own mother than to come out here and do something like this. That is low down, Bob.
She's the sweetest old lady I have ever met in my life. She paid me well. Get him out here.
Here's Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Calm down now, guys.
Get him out here.
I take for granted that you do want a match with the Rock and Roll.
Yes, right now. We want a match.
Okay, you want a match with him?
That's exactly right.
I'll give you a match with him.
Good. Get him out here.
Just one little stipulation. It has to be for the Tag Team Championship belts. Is that all right?
All right, okay. Wait a minute.
Your mother said no. Your mom said no.
You know what they did to my mother? They've humiliated her. Hold on. Get away from her. Tom, hold on.
They're trying to talk Cornette out of it right now.
And they've humiliated Mama, and I ain't gonna let them get away with it.
Jim.
You're the best tag team in the business. That's what I pay you for. It's your job to beat him. I'm sorry.
Jim, think about this.
You know what she'll say?
Wait a minute.
Not they called her a female dog.
Not for the title.
I don't care about the injunction. There's no way they're gonna get away with this. Rock and Roll Express.
We got it.
Jimmy, I can't believe you did that. You know what you've done.
Stan,
Rock and Roll Express, we're going to kill you. We are going to break you in half. Well, they are, but I'm going to watch it.
Oh, fans, it's signed. It's sealed. It's all over now. The Rock and Roll and the Heavenly Bodies for the championship. We're going to be back. Let's take time out for this.
Okay, if for people who don't watch along with us, it's a picture of a fucking dog with old lady glasses, rollers in her hair. There's a fucking iron in front of this dog. It's like stereotypical. This is some broad that stays at home and does the house chores and all that good shit. Harper, I'll throw it to you first. I know Doc's going to have a lot to say, but Harper, you go first.
Yeah, they basically took one of those posters that when I was a kid, they had the troll deal. You could order the books through a troll, and you got a free poster. That's what that was. That was the free poster.
I couldn't remember the name of that, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That was the dog. That's so awesome. Oh, shit. Go ahead, Doc. I know you got some things you want to say.
Well, this is exactly what we're talking about when we say this is as hokey as all get out. This is as hokey as you can get. And you know what I was doing? I was laughing. I was popping. I was thoroughly entertained. And part of the reason why is that it's just good old territory wrestling. Part of it is that all five of these guys involved in this angle know what they're doing and how to sell it. And everybody's playing a part, even back to Dutch doing his little drum roll there. Everybody's rowing the boat together here. They're working together. What a concept.
And I love it.
And the beautiful part is what I really liked was just watching Corny go, okay, that's it. We'll wave it. You got your match. And then watching the Heavenly Body. Wait a minute. Hold. I mean, just everybody's doing everything right there. It's just, It's just guys who know what their character would do and reacting accordingly and working together. And you, some would call that hokey. I won't argue with you, but you know what it is? It's fucking entertaining.
You can call it hokey all you want. You can call it cheesy. I sat there and watched that segment. Cornette put on a show. He's pissed. He's willing to give a title match to the Rock and Roll, even though Mama Cornette has an injunction. Cornette said they call my mama a female dog, and I'm signing the contract. Whatever. They can have a shot at the titles. They're going to – Dr. Tom and Stan Lane are going to get them back, and Lane and Pritchard – they're mad, but they're also a little bit more level-headed because it's not their mom. And Jimmy, he's doing what a nerd, like, manager would do that's pissed because his mom has been insulted. He's just doing what he should do, and that's what's great about it. It's, you know, he's not thinking rationally. It's an irrational, emotional response to the decision that he makes to give them a shot at the title. And yes, it's hokey and cheesy, and it's what made it so great. Because, yeah, I know it's a work, but I'm watching it and I'm laughing my ass off going, God damn, they don't do this no more. And at least often. It may happen occasionally, but it's not all the time, and that's what I liked about it. So that's all I got. Y'all ready to move on to the next segment?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We go to, it's actually, they repeat the local promo that they played earlier with Cornette insulting the people in West Virginia, and, you know, the football team was getting beat, all that good stuff. We go to then a segment with, now, we hadn't seen them all episode, but out of nowhere, we got Bob Caudle with the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright. Now, I'm going to break this up because there's a first part to this, and then there's a second part. So, let's listen to the first part with Mr. Ron Wright, and I just love this.
All right, fans, with us right now, the Dirty White Boy, and of course his manager, Mr. Ron Wright. And I know you got some heavy words to lay
on. The audio does get a little weird here. That's not me.
I'm in such a weakened condition that I can't hardly talk. Yeah. Tim Horner's come out here and he's jumped on me. He's hit me with beer bottles. They're telling me I'm going to lose my eyesight, and I'll probably have to be out here trying to manage in a wheelchair with dark glasses on because I'll be blind. Can you imagine a poor old broke down man like me being out here? I can't even walk, having to be rolled up the ringside and going blind. It just breaks my heart. You know, I've said a lot of prayers and asking for help, but I just don't know whether there's anything that can help. I've went to the smartest doctor in the world, and he don't know whether anything can be done. That glass got plumbed down in my cataract implants, and it's just to ruin me. But that Tim Horner, he's interfered with the celebration matches. He's come out here and jumped on me, attacked my body 3, 4, 5, 6 times. He's not got enough man about him to get on the champion here. He's got to pick on poor old crippled going blind Mr. Wright. You people are to all get down on your knees, be ashamed of yourself, and pray for me a little bit out there. That's exactly what you are to do.
You're touching this man right here.
I'm getting real choked up because what, Horner, look at me. What kind of man are you really? Tell me, son, you come out here and you jump on a poor crippled man. We're talking, this man is in a wheelchair. He can't get up and walk like me and you. At one time, this was the greatest professional wrestler of all time. Every man that walked that aisle got their butt beat by this man. Now, all I'm trying to do, Tim, is make enough money to get this man up out of this wheelchair. But you keep standing in the way, Horner. I don't understand you. Where's your compassion? Everybody's telling me, White Lightning, Tim Horner, old little Timmy Horner, such a good guy. Well, Tim, I don't see it. How can you honestly be a good, down-to-earth human being when you keep coming out here and attacking a crippled man? Why can't you jump on me? You're looking at 6 foot, 240 pounds of Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion. All you've got to do, I'm not hard to find. All you have to do is walk down, step up in my face, and we'll get it on any way you want to. But please, Tim, all I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart, just leave this poor man alone. Give me a chance to get him up out of this chair, and then if you want to jump on me, that is fine.
Amen.
I know the fans have never seen it that way. I've never known Tim Horner to attack anybody, especially the man in the wheelchair.
They went out here and they took out the video out of that tape where the man come out here and said point blank, "Ron Wright, I'm going to kill you." Why did you take that out of the video when you showed it back on the TV? It wasn't there. I heard that with my own ears, and you can't tell me if you was any kind of a man that you would deny that that's what the man said down here the other week.
Easy, calm down, you know, calm down. Your heart, baby, your heart. Don't get upset. I tell you what I'm going to do, Bob. I've got an announcement to make, but I'm going to go to the ring and make the announcement right now. So if you get everything, the camera's adjusted that way, give me a microphone. I want to make this all in right. The ring. Is that all right
that's
with you?
All right. That's fine. That's fine, fans. The Dirty White Boy, Mr. Ron, right now, fans are going to be making their way over to the ring. We're going to get him a microphone. I have no idea what he's going to say.
Okay, I pause it there because he's heading to the ring, and I feel we got to give in some commentary of how we feel about what's going on at this point. That said, Doc, fucking Ron Wright is on it on this one, bro. He's working, and I love it. Go ahead, Doc.
I thought he was about to get out of that chair and put a whooping on Bob Caudle. Bob Caudle better watch his ass with that shit.
Yeah, because he's poking Caudle in his chest. Did you notice that? He's poking.
And I, you know, it's one of those things. I can't exactly point to any specific line, but I can tell you right here, my note said, Dirty White Boy is awesome here.
He's a great heel. He is. Yeah. He's so good at being a heel, man. He's working. He's believable. Yeah, I'm laughing and chuckling while this is going on, but that son of a bitch is. I mean, I'm ready to see him whoop Tim Horner's ass in light of what we know about Horner now. But Harper, go ahead. I'll let you say what you got with that promo.
Dude, Ron Wright is such a believable old man that's like fucked up. And he says his, what I love, he says his cataract implants. The fuck is that?
That's what I said. He got glass in his eyes.
Yeah.
He got glass in his cataract implants. So
yeah,
now,
fuck is that?
Poor old Ron Wright. We're 38 episodes into this shit. Poor Ron Wright. One, he's needed a hip implant from day one. He needed a knee implant. He needed heart surgery. Now this motherfucker needs cataract surgery again. He's going to go blind. Did you hear him? I'm going to be blind out here in a wheelchair. I'm going to have dark glasses on in a wheelchair. How am I going to manage?
But you know that like the broken down saps we work with, all they talk about is their failing health. This makes sense. It's believable.
It's very believable.
Okay, y'all want to move on to the next part now where Dirty White Boy's in the ring? There's a lot of fighting in this segment, so it's not as much talking, but I kind of feel like we need to play the audio from it for people to get the full effect of it. So let's move on to that part, and we'll get the rest of what happens in this episode. Now, here's the thing. There is not really a main event. This is kind of how they go off air, so I want to make that point to you as we're listening to this.
The Dirty White Boy.
For a long, long time, weeks and weeks and weeks, Tim Horner has been trying to get a Smoky Mountain heavyweight title shot. I'm the champion. Well, I'll tell you what, White Lightning Tim Horner, if you was here right now, this second, in this stinking building, I'd give you a shot at the Smoky Mountain heavyweight title. But you know what, boy? I don't think you got enough guts because you're probably sitting at home right now thinking, well, maybe if they bring me a camera, I can do another interview and I don't have to face the Dirty White Boy. Because, punk, I'm getting sick and tired of you sticking your nose where it don't belong and you're trying to get my title. It'll not happen, you gutless wonders. And like I said, you would get a title shot. Ron, you said he wouldn't be here. You said he wouldn't be here. Well, you said he wasn't. Oh, well, hey. Well, hey, how much do you pay them boys to hold you back? I guess your old lady wears the pants in the family, don't she?
Well, Bob, it looks like he wants to come in the ring here, Tim Horner.
Tim Horner in ringside, Dutch, and he's trying to get into the ring. And Commissioner Bob Armstrong, referee, several of them are down there holding
the ring. You're going to get hurt again.
And
all you're going to do is hurt yourself worse and never get a title shot. Now, don't do it. Just calm down.
And now, of course, coming back over here.
He can run his mouth.
What is it?
Believe this. This man is out of his mind. He's crazy.
Why are you going to wrestle? In what way?
He's crazy. First, the man's got a concussion. He's got to get hit over the head with a ball or something. I don't know. But he's lost his stinking mind.
Soccer says no wrestling for Tim Horner.
That's it. The best thing that Tim Horner can do is stay out of here and stay out of the way.
Horner, watch out. Tim Horner flying in at the dirty white boy. And he's attacked him. He's down on the floor. Dutch, look at this.
Well, he's got
on top of the
they're on the floor here.
Just pounding away at him. And Commissioner Bob Armstrong.
Get some help from the dressing
room. All right. And Commissioner Bob Armstrong says, hey, get some help out of the dressing room. This has got to stop, and we got to break it up as Horner is all after the white boy all around, Dutch.
Well, he's wrestling with a concussion against doctor's orders. I don't know what he's doing out here. Obviously.
It's a very dangerous situation for Tim
Horner. I think he's out of his mind. And a big, big, what was that? What did he hit white boy with? He should be fine for doing that.
Slams it down into the turnpost.
All right, I stopped it because they're brawling right now at that point, and it's them just, you know, it's a fist fight. And Horner should be mad because he's been talking about him. So good for Horner to turn it up a notch. I'll ask you, Doc, thoughts on the rest of the promo there with White Boy and Tim Horner.
Well, Dirty White Boy was shooting, telling him, apparently saying that Tim Horner's wife wears the pants in the family after some things that we've heard recently from the Jim Cornette's drive-thru. The other thing is that, again, much like with the feud with Buddy, when Horner comes out and doesn't have to talk and can just jump somebody and get into it, it's when he's at his most useful. So again, if you don't know all the other stuff that comes with the crap that is Tim Horner, just in a vacuum, that segment was just fine. It was good. He did his job. It's just it's fine. And then the last thing I had was did he run Dirty White Boy's head into an organ?
Yes.
Yeah.
The piano over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can kind of hear it. You can kind of hear the boing of it. Yeah. He ran it. I'd imagine that whoever's in this school probably wasn't too happy with that. I would think, because those things are not cheap. I'm not a musician, but I know for a fact a piano is not cheap, but he did. And then I still can't figure out what he hit him with, because you hear it sound off. I don't know what it is, Hopper. It's something. I guarantee you it's. It might be hard, whatever it was, but it was hollow at the same time, and that's what the sound of it was when he hits him. But he cracked the hell out of him across the back at that moment that you heard a second ago, and when they're brawling. And I agree, Doc. I do agree with you. When you take Horner out of the, you know, don't put the mic in his face and just let him go out there and just kind of, you know, work. Horner's a very good professional wrestler. I will say that. I don't want to insult the man's wrestling skills. But that motherfucker needs to stay as far away as a mic as you want to keep an 8-year-old who is hyperactive. You need to keep away from sugar. I mean, just keep that motherfucker away from a mic. Let him come out there and jump Dirty White Boy just like he did Buddy Landell when they were in a feud, because he's terrible on a mic, and that's that. Harper, you got anything before I let everyone know how the show closes?
I love how he's just a great heel. He's that chicken shit heel that fucking talks all that shit that he realizes that he's there. So he's like, oh, fuck.
Ron, you said he wouldn't be here.
Yeah. You said he wasn't going to be here. And he's just that pissed off face that can't take it anymore. And he beats the crap out of him. So
yeah, I thought that was good. I agree.
And at the end, when a guy's... you can hear the ring announcer say, please, everyone, stay in your seat. So, which means these assholes were taking this shit way too seriously.
Hey, but that's great, though. You want the fans to take it seriously.
Yeah.
You do. I thought it was gay. And you know, to close things out from this segment, so they're brawling. You know, Horner, like we said, Horner nailed Dirty White Boy with some kind of pole that sounds off, and He's just at his best when he's just not talking. He's kicking some ass. I thought the way they went off the air was real old school. You know, nothing's resolved. They're fighting. And we're going to, you know what, we'll have to see. We'll have to pick this shit up next week. So we got this shit we're picking up next week. We got the fact that next week we got, you know, it appears that we got the title match for the tag team title. Just, damn, we're going off hot. You know what I'm saying, Doc?
Oh, yeah. Nothing is resolved. Tune in next week.
Yeah. That said, I guess it's, y'all got anything else before we close out the episode or with that segment?
No.
I think it's time for you to explain to all our new, many, many new listeners what we do at the end of each Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode.
We hand out disability checks because, you know, none of us are of rich beginnings. I'm not going to sit there and tell you we all were on disability or welfare. However, we always hand out disability checks because, you know, when you're a Smoky Mountain Wrestling fan, you scrape together that money from those disability checks and you're going to say, hey, we're going to go see some wrestling. So how many disability checks would we be willing to give up and part with on a scale of 1 to 10 to go see some Smoky Mountain Wrestling? And I'm going to fucking shock y'all. I know what's coming with this promotion, and I know there's some great stuff. But this episode, based on Ron Wright, based on Jim Cornette, based on the Rock and Roll Express, Heavenly Bodies, even though they didn't even have a match, this episode right here is getting an 8.25 from me. Doc, what are you giving it?
The only detraction here, and it's a small one, is that they replayed something that they already played earlier in the show. They played it twice. That's like going to see a band and they have one good song and they play it twice. That's a small nit. This episode was thoroughly entertaining from start to finish. Lots of stuff going on. I'm going to give this episode a 7.5.
Wow, that's kind of low, bro.
Yeah, man.
That's kind of high for me, though.
I guess. Ugh. Harper, what about you?
I'll give it an 8. An 8. Because just to experience Ron White and fucking Jim Cornette on the same episode, that's it.
They were working in this episode.
Yeah, that shit was great.
I've said this like for 9 months now, 8 months. Fucking Ron Wright comes up with some new shit like every time you think
he's so believable.
Yeah.
You think he's some old poor bastard that's got all these sicknesses and he's stuck in a fucking wheelchair when probably at the end of the show he just gets up with his bags and he gets into his, you know, fucking Mercury Grand Marquis and fucking drives off to the next building.
See y'all next time.
Yeah.
Hi, brother. That was a good show tonight, brothers. I'll see y'all next time. We'll catch y'all. Where are we at next weekend? We in Barberville, Tennessee. Where are we at next weekend, brothers? I'll see y'all there.
Here's the thing. There's not a lot of video or tape of him, but think how believable he is here. Think about how believable he would have been back in the day in chain matches. Or riling up fans, or he pulled out his homemade gimmick that he used to chisel gimmick that he used to hard way guys with, or the story we read not too long ago where he went up north and right after like the civil rights marches and called one of the other wrestlers the dreaded N word. I mean, just think about how believable he is now, but he existed in a time when you could get nuclear heat.
Yeah, we're seeing heat from this, but you listen to those stories that Jim Cornette tells about him. You listen
to Bo James.
Or Bo James. Bo James has some great stories. I mean, if you haven't heard the Bo James interviews that we did on the flagship show on Thursdays, man, go back and just search Bo James in those old episodes because they're all still available, and you'll come across the Bo James ones and listen to those. And if you don't listen to what we talked about, listen to Bo James talk about Ron Wright because he talks a lot about Ron Wright and the nuclear heat that Ron used to get. Yeah, you're right, Hopper. Go to your point, the dude is so believable. It's unreal.
Yeah.
Un-freaking real. So if you enjoy...
Hold on. Here's one more thing I want to say. We all just gave that episode 7.5 and above. And if you go back and start tallying it all up, I know for a fact it's less than 10, but it may be less than 9 minutes of bell-to-bell action.
Well, that goes back to the point we make about the Thursday show all the time, the flagship show when we do NWA. We ain't watching for the five-star matches. We're watching for the maximum shit-talking.
That's right.
I want to see some shit-talking because you know what shit-talking does, Doc? It creates personal motherfucking issues.
Right.
And that's what we love about professional wrestling.
We may need to explore the fact that we're not really into wrestling that much. We just like to hear people talk shit.
Yeah, for real.
Well, you know, yeah, you're right, Harper. In all honesty, I mean, there's nothing against, here's the thing about wrestling. You know, you want to see two people pound on each other. And I don't mind high spots, but if you're going to give me all the high spots that you get in today's wrestling, I also want some shit talking to go with it because I want to have a reason to know why I want to see you two some bitches flip around and hate each other and do all these cool moves. That's fine if you want to do the cool moves, but goddamn, give me some substance behind the cool moves. You know, you want to super kick somebody? That's great. Shit, give me a personal issue why you want to super kick that some bitch. Not just because you want to walk out there and super kick somebody because you think it's cool. So anyway, that's not a shot at the Young Bucks. Don't take it like that for anybody who would, because I can already see the tweets coming. Oh, what's this? Young Bucks hate. No, we're not talking about that. I'm just saying, in comparison, Chris Adams' super kick was so devastating because when that motherfucker was feuding with Kevin Von Erich, there was some personal issues there and some maximum shit talking going on. So, yeah, you're right, Doc. We like this shit talking. You know, think about it. When Arn called Tully and Dusty a bunch of two twin koala bears, how great was that? That said, man, if you're a first-time listener, subscribe to the show, however you're listening to it right now. And please, if you're on iTunes, throw us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate it. Also, we do our Patreon. We have a Patreon membership. You can go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. There's a few Patreon episodes up. I got to be honest, not much wrestling talk in it. A little bit, but not much. It's just the three of us having a good time. So if you like our banter, you'll love that. Also, the Patreon membership allows you to be able to join the show at once a quarter in a raffle. So we do select someone to join the show. Cut a promo on Doc, cut a promo on me, Harper, whatever you want to do. Or if you just want to talk about something that you love about Smoky Mountain Wrestling or the flagship show, I also do allow that on the Patreon episodes as well. So, again, go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. I am pushing the Patreon stuff more now because of YouTube's bullshit and stopping us from monetizing as much as we used to be able to do. These are 8 free shows that we do between this one and the Smoky Mountain show, so please consider it. Please consider becoming a patron. It really helps us out. It helps me pay all the bills, like when I got to buy Harper a new headset like I just did a few weeks back.
What
comes out of the patron money. That, and, hey, we had on Bobby Blaze recently on our flagship show. So I mentioned that because Bobby Blaze has a couple of great books. Well, guess what? Not only if you want to buy Bobby Blaze, former Smoky Mountain Wrestling Heavyweight Champion's books, but if you want to support the show, not spending any extra money, go to tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Bookmark that Amazon link, because when you do that and you purchase things through Amazon, we get a little bit of small kickback in return on the show. All right, Doc, now is time for our Government Cheese Award, and this is a difficult one. I will let you go first and tell me who gets the Government Cheese of the Week.
So just for all of our new listeners out there, let me just say Government Cheese is for the person who stood out the most, good or bad. I always give it to who gets the MVP award. But it's Government Cheese because, well, we are talking about the Smoky Mountain people. I am going to probably differ from the two of you, I think, here, but I'm going to give it to Corny because Cornette did multiple segments and then just sold the shit out of his mom's picture. So I'm going with Corny here. But I expect, if I'm predicting, you two going with Ron and the Dirty White Boy.
Yeah. No
Who
doubt.
Who you got, Harper? Who you got, Harper?
Ron. Mr. Wright.
It's hard. It's really hard not to get
the government cheese.
He does. Come on, man. You heard Cornette. He said it. When Ron Wright tried to get people to send in money to the TV station or to the Smoky Mountain P.O. box, man, people were like, they sent $13 in. Come on, man. It's got Ron Wright's. He needs the government cheese. It's got to be Ron Wright. When that sumbitch said he had glass in his eyes and it fucked up his cataract implants, I was like, are you shitting me? Oh, boy. Ron Wright. Ron Wright gets the government cheese. So I just, you know, I hate to, I almost don't want to leave this episode, but we got a great one coming up next week. Yeah. This was just a fabulous episode. Was it not, Doc? I mean, seriously.
Absolutely. Wrestling the way it used to be and wrestling the way we motherfucking like it.
The way it and should be.
Say that again, Hopper.
The way it should be.
This is the way it should be. If Monday Night Raw was able to roll this out every week, we'd be like, Hopper would need to he'd need to find time to shave in life. He'd need to find time to go stroke the Golden Girls because he'd be so wrapped up in 5 hours between Raw and SmackDown every week. He wouldn't have a life outside of it. This is maximum. This is professional wrestling, and that's I don't know what else to say other than the fact that episode 39 might top it in some ways, and I will leave it at that with a teaser for next week. Doc, you got anything before we get out of here?
No, sir.
Harper, you got anything?
Nope.
All right. With that said, we appreciate you tuning into this week's episode. Like I said, subscribe. If you're listening on iTunes, please throw us a 5-star review with some comments. We'd appreciate it. Thanks again to Jim Cornette, great Brian Lass for their plugs on the Jim Cornette Experience. I cannot thank you enough for your support of the show. It means a lot coming from the mastermind behind Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Jim Cornette. All that said, Harper, hit the tagline and get us out of here. I may have a promo of the week at the end of this. I don't know. I think we pretty much played them all. But if not, we'll throw some at the end. We'll see. Harper, hit the tagline and get us out of here.
Fuck it, bitch.